You may be familiar this morning, as I said, with this passage of God's word and the story of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. The Bible introduces them to us in verse number 5, that he was around in the days of Herod the king of Judah. And he was living under the reign of King Herod, this king who would later on rise up and destroy all the babes in Israel under the age of 2 and under. And he's trying to rid the land of the Lord Jesus Christ because he was fearful of his birth. You may be familiar with the times of Herod, and no doubt Herod was a man who was not wanting the Lord, didn't want Christ, didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And so he was living in those days of Herod the king of Judah. Then also we read that he was a priest, and so he had a service to do for the Lord. And no doubt we're going to look at that in a moment. But there was something that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth bore from the very beginnings of their marriage until now, where we find them in their old age. They had never been able to have a son. Verse number 7 said they had no child. And so this, the Bible tells us, was perhaps the great burden that Zacharias carried throughout all of his life. No doubt he was a man who wanted to follow the Lord and wanted to honor the Lord and was seeking the Lord. In fact, where we read him, we read that he was doing everything he should be doing. And through no fault of his own, through no sin that he had done, God had kept, until this point, Zacharias and Elizabeth from having a child. I don't know where you are this morning about what trial that you've been praying for or what situation you've been bringing before the Lord, but no doubt there are many of us in this meeting this morning who perhaps have some great burden on our heart that we'd long for the Lord to lift. We long for the Lord to remove. And the Lord hasn't yet chosen to do that thing. And it's perhaps through no sin of our own. It's perhaps through no circumstances that we've created. Perhaps they're things out of our control and we find ourselves in some situation. And no doubt that's probably what Zacharias was feeling like. He couldn't help not having a son. There was nothing humanly speaking he could do, and therefore he must have come to the conclusion it was not God's will, and he had accepted that. And yet, my friend, we read in this chapter that the prayer of Zacharias and of his wife Elizabeth had not been forgotten, had not been wasted, and that at the very late stages of their life, God decided to bless them with a son. And this would be no ordinary son. This would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to encourage you this morning that no prayer that you offer to the Lord, no matter how many times you offer it, is not heard. God hears and answers prayer this morning. You may be here this morning praying for years for a certain situation to be changed. And yet, many years go by and still the same thing is the same thing. No answer yet. But it doesn't mean God hasn't heard your prayer. And it doesn't mean that God is not able to answer your prayer. And I want to just look this morning at the trial of unbelief that Zacharias faced, because we can learn a lot from this man this morning. These things are not just recorded in us, the scriptures, for us to understand the birth of John the Baptist. These things are written so we can learn from them. And I want you to look very quickly with me at Zacharias and his trial of unbelief. Look at verse 20. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, some people don't like to do that, but I like to mark things. You can mark the expression, verse number 20, it says, when the angel spoke to him and he said, because thou believest not my words. That's the one thing I believe this passage that we have before us is dealing with this morning, is unbelief. Zacharias believed not the words from God. They weren't just simply words from an angel. Verse number 19 says, I am Gabriel, the one speaking, who told him these things. Note what it says, that stand in the presence of God and that are sent to speak these things. So this was a message directly from God to him. So he wasn't not just believing the words of an angel, he was believing not the words of God. I want to look this morning at Zacharias and his trial of unbelief. The greatest problem we're facing is unbelief. And it's not just a problem out there in the world, it's a problem even in the church this morning. We don't believe God can do what he once did. We don't believe and we don't trust God to do what he can do. Now, I just want to look very quickly at the circumstances of this man, Zacharias. His name means remembered of Jehovah. That's interesting. His wife's name means Elizabeth, oath of God. So his whole family is surrounded with God will remember. God will promise. God will keep his word. And I want you to notice there was nothing that you could look at the life of Zacharias and say that he wasn't doing that he should have been doing when we first meet him. Look at verse number 6. And they were both righteous before God. These were followers of the Lord who were following Christ, and they were waiting for him. The idea here of one who is righteous is the idea that we find of Abraham in Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 3. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Not that just simply he was living in a good way before men. He was living with faith in God, in the sending of Christ one day. And that was his hope. That was his anchor. They were both righteous before God. They were declared righteous before God. Romans chapter 4 verse 5 says, his faith, Abraham's faith, was accounted for righteousness. So here's a man this morning who struggled with unbelief at this point when God told him he was going to do something in his life. But there's no doubt when we begin to meet him that he was walking with the Lord. You couldn't point to the life of Zacharias or Elizabeth and say, there is somebody who's not what they say they are. Look what it says in verse number 6. They were walking in all the commandments and in all ordinances, all orders of the Lord, blameless. In other words, they were doing what they should have been doing, when they should have been doing it, and the way they should have been doing it, they were doing. Everything they were doing right before the Lord. They were a perfect example of what it meant to be a follower of the Lord. There's no doubt about that here in our text. And this was the burden he bore. He couldn't have children. They couldn't have children. Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have children. But that did not diminish this, that he still kept serving the Lord. You know, some people who are not able to do something, the Lord doesn't bless them in some way, and therefore they become bitter towards the Lord. They become angry towards God. And they feel like they can't worship him, they can't serve him because he hasn't given them what they think they need. But that wasn't the case for Zacharias. The Bible says it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. So here's a man this morning who was doing what God had called him to do and was doing it gladly. Some say of the historians of that day that there were 1,000 of these priests who had the responsibility and different jobs. And he was doing what was appointed to him to do. The Bible says in verse number 9, it was his custom in his office that he would go into the temple to burn incense. And his lot came, his time came, his calling came. It's your turn to go up and to burn incense. And he was found doing it. So there was nothing here in the life of Zacharias that we could say he was living in sin. He was wrong with God. He had some bitterness in his heart. He had some trial in his heart. There was nothing here we could say that was sinful. And yet God in his mercy and in his grace was going to use something that had been long kept on his heart for his good. And I don't know, my friend, this morning where you are. You may be here and you may be doing everything that you should be doing as a Christian. You know, you ought to be coming to worship God in church. I met somebody a few weeks ago who was trying to tell me that he didn't need to go to church. But we are commanded to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's not the case for Zacharias. He was doing what he should be doing. He was living how he should be living. And yet God may be withholding some blessing from you that you've been longing for. How do you respond when you don't get what you want? What's the answer Zacharias would have? This prayer he'd been offering for many years. Look at verse number 13. When the angel appears to him, he says, "For thy prayer is heard." You can imagine in the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth, many years they came round, perhaps at the end of the day, and they joined hands together and they knelt beside the table and they said to the Lord, "Lord, give us a son." And maybe the first year of marriage or the second year of marriage or the third year of marriage, they thought, "Lord, you're going to give us a son." And by the time now they've arrived, they've given up hope and got to the point and thinking, maybe it's just not meant to be. I want you to see that this morning. They'd been praying, they'd been seeking God, and God had not forgotten their prayer. God was going to come and he was going to answer their prayer. And he was not just going to answer their prayer, but he was going to answer all of Israel's prayer. Because really, truly, what this man would be the answer to Israel's prayer. The forerunner. The one preparing the way of the Lord. The one that Isaiah spoke of. But I want you to notice, my friend, the Bible tells us that when he hears these things, he says, "You will have a son and you will call his name John." The name John means gracious giver. Jehovah is a gracious giver. And that's really an answer in itself, isn't it? Here's two people. You're remembered of God. God has promised to keep his oath to you. And I'm going to give you a son. His name will be called John, proving I am a giver, a gracious giver. And so here is John, and he's being told this is going to happen. And the Lord says, he's going to be great, and many are going to rejoice at his birth, verse number 14. And he's going to turn many of the children of Israel back to the Lord. And he's going to go with power in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to know the wisdom of the just. And he's going to make ready a people, ready to receive the Lord when he comes. What a great answer to prayer. Not just for Zacharias, but for Elizabeth and for the whole of Israel. This is what God says he will do. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 talks about John the Baptist. Isaiah 40 verse 3 talks about John the Baptist. This is all of the Old Testament coming together in front of the life of Zacharias. His prayers being heard and all of Israel's prayer would be heard too. But look at verse number 20. He says, "Because thou hast not believed my words." What did Zacharias struggle with? Unbelief. And my friend, we live in a day of unbelief. It's gripped us like a great plague. And we come together and we worship God. And we sing the praises of God from the hymns, and we lift our voices up and we pray. But we don't expect God to be the same as he always has been. And we don't expect God to move in the same way as he always has moved. We think that we've sinned ourselves away and the day of grace is over and nobody's going to be saved any longer. That's what some people say. Some people say God is finished with the UK because it's turned its back too much on God. That's not true. We're filled of unbelief. We think of empty chapel buildings and we think, how could we ever fill a place like this and see this to be a living testimony to the grace of God? We live in a day, it's hard even to get people through the door. People don't even want to go through the door. They're nervous. Even when they see the red door, they think, "No, I'm not going through." And we think about certain people that we meet and we think, they'll never become a Christian. They're too hard. Their heart's too hard and they're too far gone. And no. What do we deal with? What is it that we've been plagued with? It's the same thing that Zacharias was plagued with. It's unbelief. God can still do a work in our day. Do you believe that? He still can save souls. Do you know why I believe he can? Because there are people in this room who are a direct answer to the prayer that was offered many years ago, God save souls. And he's doing it. But I believe he can do it even on a higher scale than we've seen before. But what's hindering it is the same thing that Zacharias hindered with it, because you didn't believe my word. You didn't take the word of God and you didn't believe it. You didn't put it into practice. You didn't carry it out. It's impossible. But my friend, with man it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God can do anything. Do you believe that? He really can. He can do the most amazing things if we just believe. Do you believe? Zacharias was told, your son will be the one who will come and prepare the way of the Lord, and the Spirit of God will be upon him, and he's going to make ready a people, prepare for the Messiah. And the answer was, how can this be? I am old, and my wife is now old. This is impossible. And I don't know what it is, friend, but I believe there is something that needs to be conquered in our day. It's unbelief. We have to believe God can save souls. Somebody I'm thinking of this morning who has perhaps sinned their life whole away and they're still living in sin. And I've spoken to them many times and I've pleaded with them many times. And many may say, you have to give up. But you can't give up. Because God can. He's able to save. What's the greatest problem Zacharias had in this text? It was this. God came to him with great glad tidings and he didn't believe. He didn't believe. God can do great and mighty things. But I want you to notice the consequences of him not believing. Look at verse number 20. Because you didn't believe, you shall be dumb and not be able to speak. I want you to think about that. This is the greatest announcement that 400 years of Israel's history ever had. Literally. For 400 years, there had been a period of silence in Israel. They'd never had a prophet come with a word from God fresh, and they'd never had new revelation. They'd been waiting. And now Zacharias, in his time, he had received this great word from God of what God was going to do, and he didn't believe it. And so for the next 9 months, he couldn't speak about it. Now, can I tell you, my friend, we could put that today in our own application, couldn't we? Those who really believe can speak of the things that God is doing. But those who don't believe, they can't speak. They're dumb. You think about it. The Bible tells us of David in the book of Psalms. He says, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He spoke as if God had been good to him in the land of the living, when he was being persecuted, when he was in trial, when he was in difficulty. He believed it, yet he hadn't seen it. There's a different kind of Christian, isn't there? There's two types of Christians in this room this morning. There are those Christians in this room this morning who have unbelief in their heart and they don't believe God can do it. And so they come and they think, well, it's all very well him saying what he says and fired up and excited about what God can do. And that's nice, but it's never going to happen. But there's another type of believer here this morning who says, God can do it. God is able. And we believe it. The consequences of unbelief here was that he couldn't speak. And for 9 months, until 9 months and to be exact, 8 days. Or even longer, maybe. Because 8 days he would be circumcised and they would name the child then, and only on the eighth day would he be able to speak the name John. And his mouth was opened, he was able to praise God. Look, verse number 64, it says, and his mouth was opened immediately and he spake, and his tongue was loosed and he spake and praised God. But for 9 whole months, he couldn't lift one note of praise. He couldn't tell one person with his tongue of what God was going to do because of his unbelief. And my friend, this morning, I want to tell you something so serious. We need to have belief that God can do things. He's able to save. He's able to build his church. He can do it. Do you believe? Zacharias didn't believe. In 1845, I was reading this week about a young boy who was born in 1845 to an English mother who had family from Ireland, and his father then settled in Ireland, and he was from Turkey, Germany, Spanish, Spain, and Italian, a bit of a mix. He was born in 1845. They named him Tom. When he was 2 years old, he was taken to hospital, and his family were weeping because they were told there was nothing he could do for this little boy, Tom. And so two doctors looked at him. The first doctor said, he's dead. And then the second doctor came in and he confirmed the news to the family, your son has died. And so this family, parents of Tom, called in the undertaker. The coffin was made and they began to prepare for the funeral. And only what can be described later as a miracle took place. They were preparing his body for a burial, and suddenly this little baby became conscious again. And there were to be a tiny, this is a true story, a tiny flutter of movement and then another, and the undertaker realized this little baby's not dead. You can imagine the message received that day at the home of these parents. That little boy would go on to be raised in Ireland, and his two older brothers became Christians, and in the 1859 revival they became Christians, and it swept through even across from New York to Ireland. They were born again, but Tom was never really interested in Christian things. He had never had a desire for the things of God, and so he began to, these two brothers began with no avail to try and persuade him to come to a meeting. At last, they convinced him to go to a little meeting. So he went. They went to a little meeting, a small one, but his desire in going was that simply just to disturb the meeting. He had no interest in really being there for hearing from God. And so he stood up and began to disturb the meeting, and the leader of the meeting, instead of throwing him out during the meeting, he spoke so kindly to him. Something to learn, isn't it? And it left a great impression on this young fella, Tom, that from there on he began to be very convicted about his sin. He no longer mocked his brothers, but he began seriously to seek the Lord. And weeks later, a message touched his heart. He was pierced straight through. He couldn't sleep. He found no peace with God. He found Christ eventually. He was saved. Tom had a great desire to go to China, to become a missionary in China. And so he began to train under a very famous missionary who had a China mission at that time, Hudson Taylor from the United Kingdom. And Hudson Taylor saw him. He saw his gifts and he said, you need to be a surgeon. So he sent him to London to be a surgeon, to train. And whilst in London, this young man, Tom, was introduced to a great need of children. In that period in London, many were thrown out of their homes. They had drunk parents, single mothers, and they didn't want them in their homes, and so they throw them out. The only time they want them back was if they had a bit of money so they could feed their habit and throw them out again. And they were put in those days into workhouses. That was the only answer for children on the street. And you can imagine, as you probably know, that the workhouses were not nice places to be, and many children escaped. One day, Tom was working in this mission for children, and this little lad ran in at the end and he said to him, can you give me some food? He began to feed him and he said, now look, lad, you need to go. You can't sleep here. And the man said, I have no home. He thought the little lad was being cheeky and he said, no, my friend, you need to go home to your mother. He said, I have no mother. And Tom began to hear from this little lad, Jimmy, I think his name was, about the great need of London and these children. He went out deep, dark at night in the streets of London, and this little boy took him to a rooftop, and under this rooftop there was stacks of children lying under a tarpaulin who had no home, nowhere to go. He was given an opportunity to speak at a famous missionary outreach in London, and they didn't believe what he was telling them of these children living on the streets in London. And so they took him, Tom, and these wealthy people. One of them was a man called Lord Shaftesbury. They took him to London and they took him to the places. They couldn't find anybody. And eventually, he found a place. He put his hand in. He found a hand of a child and he opened up. There was these 70 children hiding under this tarpaulin in the streets in the east of London. Tom began to establish homes for these children. We know him today as Dr. Bernardo. But he had a great desire, not just simply to reach these children and clothe them, but he had a great desire to lead these children to Christ. He would have Sunday meetings in his homes just so they could hear the gospel. Now just think about that. Here's a man who nearly died in birth, who probably people thought that would never come anything of him. A home probably wrapped with unbelief. And through his life, they say he reached 60,000 children through his homes because he believed. Now, I know probably Bernardo's is not in the same place as it was back then, but he had certainly a desire to reach these children with the gospel. That was his main desire, spiritual. And I just want to say to you, my friend, this morning, Zacharias struggled with unbelief because he just believed God couldn't do it. But here's a young fella, young Tom, who believed. And nobody else believed him. All the lords of London said, "You're out of your mind. It doesn't exist." He believed. Everyone threw accusation as his ministry grew. There was a whole trial, and you may know the story. They said of Tom Bernardo that he was just living off this money that was coming in for himself, and the money wasn't being given to the children. They were locking children in the homes. They weren't feeding them. They were treating them poorly. They were hitting them. They were doing... Well, all of that wasn't true. But actually through that, instead of reaching 1,000 children, after all that trial was over, his name became well known. More people were giving money to his ministry. In 1 year, he went from reaching 1,000 to 12,000 children. The man went through so much, and you could have been tempted to say, "No, it's not possible." He could have been filled of unbelief, but he believed. And God blessed him. And what we need today, my friend, this morning, we've seen from Zacharias, he didn't believe. And God withheld his tongue from him. But as soon as he was allowed to speak, the Bible says in verse 64, he praised God. He began to speak. He began to believe. He believed. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." He was the first one to say, God is going to bring a Savior. The first priest we know of who would stand up and say, the Messiah is coming. He went on to say, he have raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That horn, the idea of he's raised up one who's coming, who is mighty to save. Speaking of his power, he says, this is something he's spoken of since the world began, verse number 70. Verse number 71, that we'll be saved from our enemies. Verse 72, that we'll have mercy, that will give knowledge of salvation to his people. And verse 78, that the day spring from on high have visited us and given us light, those who have sat in darkness, and they'll see the way of peace. All because God was going to do it. He believed. His faith went from not believing to believing. What is God trying to say to us this morning? I believe God is saying to us, we have to believe. God can. God is able to do anything that's according to his will. It's his will that people will be saved tonight. Do you believe that? Sometimes we pray people come in, but I believe we should pray God will save somebody tonight. Somebody's going to be born again, maybe even this morning, because we believe God can do it. What are you facing this week? What unbelief has crept into your heart that you've come against and you said, I'm not sure I believe that? Well, take a visit to Zacharias. Take a learning from Zacharias. He had to learn it the hard way, perhaps for 9 months where he couldn't speak. But he got to the place where he said, blessed be God. He's visited us. His word is sure. We believe. Do you believe? The dying thief believed. The man with a sick child said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. What we need more than ever, Christian, is to be full of faith. God can, and God is able. We need expectancy again. That's one thing, when I think of Pastor Clarence Sexton, I think of, I don't know him that well, but I know him a little bit. There's one thing I think of him, he's a man of great faith, who believed. Do you know they prayed for something like 17 years for a work to begin in the United Kingdom that we're a part of now? Now think about that. Some of those people probably in that church, I don't know, maybe not all of them, but some of them probably thought, this man is crazy. He's been talking about this for 17 years and that's never happened. And the 17th year came. And God began to work. And here we are today, 16 years later, sitting in the sixth church because somebody believed. Here you are today, and you know Christ as your Saviour, perhaps through the ministry of this church, because directly because of Him believing. Here is your family today, and you've been changed because God has done it, because somebody believed. A church is opening in Bilth, not because of us, but because a man 17 years ago, no longer than that, over 20 years ago, prayed earnestly. God opened churches in the United Kingdom. He probably never heard of a place called Bilth Wells. And yet, he believed. We need to believe. God can. Do you believe, friend? Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Saviour, and you're lost, and you've never put your faith and trust in Him. Is that you?